I have read in the Bible that God so loved sinners that he let his son die in their place. Paid the price for their sins on the old cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace.
This is the Back to Calvary program with Reverend Wayne Guy. Address all mail concerning this program to Reverend Wayne Guy, 1902 South Main Street, Mount Airy, Maryland, 21771. Now, the Back to Calvary program. If you would like a cassette of today's program, send a gift of $3 to help support this program, giving date and call letters of this radio station.
Again today at this time, we're only going to be reading one verse of Scripture, that being from Psalm 119 and verse number 16. Here in this passage, the Word of God says this, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Heavenly Father, as we bow our head in thy presence at this time, I want to thank you for the great salvation that you have provided in thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you also for the indwelling Spirit of God and for the inspired Scripture. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to me and speak through me this day. Speak to the heart of every listener according to their need. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Here in Psalm chapter 119 and in verse number 16, we find the psalmist's delight. I believe that the Lord used a man by the name of David to pin down the words that we find here in Psalm chapter 119. My friend, here in verse number 16, we find David's delight. Here the psalmist said, I will delight myself in thy statutes. Of course, this is referring to the Word of God. This is referring to the Scriptures. My friend, the psalmist loved the Word of God. David's delight was in the Word of God. He loved the Word of God. We also read something about this in Psalm chapter 1 and in verse number 2. Not only that, but Jeremiah was a man that loved the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse number 16, he tells us that the Word of God was the joy and the rejoicing of his heart. My friend David loved the Word of God. I'm going to ask you today, do you love the Word of God? Do you love the Scripture? Do you love the Bible? And if so, how much do you love the Word of God? How much do you love the Scripture? How much do you love the Bible? Now here, in Psalm 119, we find some things concerning David's love for the Word of God. And during this series, as I stated on the broadcast last week, during this series, we're going to be dealing with some of these things that tells us how much David loved the Word of God. On the broadcast last week, we dealt with Psalm 119, verses 147 and 148. Here we find in these verses that David loved the Word of God more than he did sleep. More than he did sleep. David gave up sleep. David lost sleep so he could pray and meditate and study on the Word of God. My friend David gave up sleep so he could get alone with God and His Word. That's what we find here in Psalm chapter 119, verses 147 and 148. Now, this time, I want to direct your attention to another verse found here in Psalm 119, that being verse 103. Here in this passage, we find that David loved the Word of God more than he did food. He loved the Word of God more than he did food. Here in verse 103, the Word of God says this, "How sweet thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." My friend, here we find that David loved the Word of God more than he did food. Most certainly he did. Here in verse 103 he says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste." How sweet are thy words unto my taste. My friend, here in this verse, David speaks about the fact of their sweetness. But he does not speak about the degree of their sweetness. You know why? The degree of the sweetness of the Word of God cannot be put into language. The sweetness of the Word of God cannot be expressed in language. Oh yes. Therefore, David says here at the beginning of verse 103, "How sweet." Now listen. Have you ever seen someone after a dinner, they start sampling the desserts? And those desserts maybe are sweet. And what do they say as they sample those desserts? Do they say, "How sweet? How sweet? How sweet?" No, they don't say that. But you know what they do say? They say, "How sweet? How sweet?" Oh yes, that's what they say. And my friend, the more that the pie or the dessert is the more sweet that it is, the more sweet that it is, the more they seem to emphasize that word, "How sweet." And my friend, that's what we have here in verse 103. David is saying, how sweet thy words unto my taste. Here, my friend, David is referring to the indescribable sweetness of the Word of God. The indescribable deliciousness of the Word of God. The infinite deliciousness of the Word of God. My friend, here, honey itself is outstripped in sweetness. Oh yes. I remember some years ago, there used to be a company that advertised a candy bar that they made. And they advertised it by saying that it was indescribably delicious. My friend, that's exactly what David is talking about here in Psalm 119 and verse 103. He is referring to the fact that the Word of God is indescribably delicious. Oh, yes. You know, it's been said that there is three stages in Bible study. First, there is the cod liver oil stage. You take it like medicine because you need it. Second, there's the shredded wheat stage. And then third, there is the peaches and cream stage. The peaches and cream stage. And my friend David, according to this verse, had reached this third stage. The peaches and cream stage. And it was sweet unto him. My friend, the Word of God was sweeter than honey to his taste. Oh, yes. David loved the Word of God more than he did food. In Job chapter 23, and in verse number 12, the Word of God says this, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." My friend, here we find Job speaking, and he tells us that he had seen the words of God more than his necessary food. My friend, here Job makes it very clear. Job makes it very clear, my friend, that the Word of God that sustained him spiritually was more important and of more value than breakfast, dinner, and supper. Oh, yes. I am reminded of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 and in verse number 4 where he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Job here realized, my friend, that the Word of God was of more value than breakfast, dinner, and supper. I'm thinking now of a time when families and loved ones get together to have a big feast, to have a big dinner, maybe Thanksgiving dinner. The wife, she goes out and buys the turkey or whatever she buys and gets all the things ready. She labors in the kitchen for hours and hours, and she bakes some of those desserts. And after a while, she calls her loved ones and she says, "It's ready." Everyone comes to the table. And that table there is just groaning under the burden of all that food, that delicious food. They all sit down, and the husband asks the blessing. He thanks God for the food, and then he says, "Amen." And then the husband scoots his chair back, and he gets up, and he scoots his chair in, and he says, "You're going to have to excuse me. I believe I'll go and study the Word of God for the next hour." Now, I can just hear some listener say, "Well, preacher, you're crazy." Listen, my friend, that's exactly what Job was telling us here in Job chapter 23 and verse number 12. That's exactly what Job was telling us right here. Oh, yes. My friend, Job loved the Word of God more than he did food. David loved the Word of God more than he did food. We find that very clearly here in verse 103 of Psalm chapter 119. Here in this verse, once again, the Word of God says this, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, unto my taste." My friend, listen, the child of God is given a new supernatural sense. You know what it is? It's a certain divine spiritual taste. A certain divine spiritual taste. This is what Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2 when he says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." My friend, when an individual gets saved by the grace of God, God Almighty gives them a taste for the things of God, a taste for the Word of God. If you listen to this broadcast today, I want to ask you a question. Do you have a taste for the Word of God? Do you have a taste for the things of God? Here in Psalm chapter 119 and verse 103, we find that David had a taste for the Word of God. My friends, some people, they don't have a taste for prayer. They don't have a taste for the Word of God. They don't have a taste for the house of God. You know why? It's because they've never been born again. They've never experienced the new birth. That's why. Go ahead. Here in Psalm 119 and verse 103 again, the Word of God says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." David loved the Word of God more than he did food. Now, at this time, I'm thinking about a man that had every opportunity to become one of the great biblical characters. There came a time in his life that he had to make a choice between God's Word and honey. He made the wrong choice, and it cost him his life. The man that I'm referring to is a man by the name of Samson. Samson's birth is announced in Judges chapter 13. We find that Samson had a dad and mom that were godly. They were godly. They loved the Lord. And we find that the angel of the Lord announces the birth of Samson to his father and mother in chapter 13. And my friend, the Lord here makes it very clear that Samson would be a Nazarite from the womb. He would be a Nazarite from the womb. Now, the requirements of a Nazarite vow are found in Numbers chapter 6. And I'm not going to deal with all of those requirements of a Nazarite vow, but I'm going to say this. One of those requirements was that individual could not partake of anything of the vine. Of the vine. My friend, that individual could not even eat raisins. He could not even eat raisins. He could not partake of anything of the vine. The second thing that I want you to notice is this. That individual was not supposed to come close a dead body. He was not to come close a dead body. Now, with those two things in mind, let's look at a few verses here in Judges chapter 14 in connection with this man by the name of Samson. And we find here that Samson was a young man, and he found a woman down in Timnath, and he wanted her for his wife. And he wanted his dad and his mom to meet her. So here in verse number 5, the Word of God says this. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. Where is Samson here? He's in the vineyards, the Word of God says. My friend, Samson being a Nazarite, had no business being in the vineyards. He had no business being in the vineyards. My friend, listen. Samson placed himself near a source of temptation. When he did, we find that the young lion roared against him. And of course, this speaks of the devil. This speaks of the devil. My friend, when you as a child of God place yourself in the place of temptation, when you place yourself near a source of temptation, you can expect the devil to roar against you. Oh, yes. My friend, you as a child of God should place as much distance as possible between you and a source of temptation. Paul told Timothy to flee. Flee youthful lust. That's exactly what Joseph did. He ran from Potiphar's wife. Most certainly he did. Listen, Christian. Sometimes the only way that a source of temptation can be escaped, sometimes the only way that it can be escaped is with a good pair of legs on the King's Highway. Don't place yourself near a source of temptation. If you want to avoid the fruits of sin, stay out of the orchard. Oh, yes. Here in verse number 5, the Word of God says, Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. A young lion, now listen, this wasn't a hard, tame, toothless lion from the circus, but this was a young lion. He had a lot of strength. You know what happened? When that lion roared against Samson, Samson rammed his hand down that lion's throat, got him by the tail and pulled him inside out and threw him over in the bushes. That's what happened. That's not the end of the story. Look at verse number 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. He had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with a woman, and she pleased Samson well. Now, some time goes by here, and the wedding's coming up. The wedding's coming up. Samson heads towards him now. Now, I want you to notice what happens in verse number 8. And after a time, he returned to take her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey. What does David talk about in Psalm 119, verse 103? He talks about honey. Here the Word of God says that there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. My friend, that lion was not alive. And if that lion was not alive, it was dead. It was dead. And that Nazarite had no business coming near a dead body. Here we find honey in the carcass, that lion. Here in verse 9, the Word of God says, he took thereof in his hand and went on eating, came to his father and mother. Listen, my friend, here we find that Samson knew. He knew what God had laid down about the requirements of a Nazarite vow. He knew that. Here Samson, my friend, was faced with a choice between the Word of God and honey. And Samson chose honey. And it cost him his life. Because here we find, my friend, in these chapters, that one thing leads to another. Here we find Samson on a downhill course, spiritually speaking, in these chapters. And we find, my friend, it brings him to the place to where his eyes is gouged out. And he's grinding in the meal. There we find the binding and the blinding and the grinding bondage of sin. Samson, my friend, had to make a choice between the Word of God and honey. And he chose honey. And it cost him his life. Oh, yes. Listen, my friend, the application of this that we find here in Judges chapter 14 in connection with Samson is this. Are you, as a child of God, going to choose to satisfy the lust of the flesh and the desires of the flesh and the appetite of the flesh above what God says in His Word? That's what it comes down to. Let me give another application of what we find here in connection with Samson. Am I preaching to a young man today? You've been saved by the grace of God. You are a Christian. And you are thinking about marrying an unsaved girl. Listen, my friend. You are faced with the choice. You are faced with the choice of going with the Word of God or going with honey. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I mean this. Honey in this case just might be a 5'4" blonde haired, blue eyed sweetie that you call honey. But she's lost. She's never been saved. God makes it clear in His Word that there is not to be an unequal yoke with unbelievers. My friend, you're going to have to make a choice between what God says. You're going to have to make a choice between the Word of God and honey. You're going to have to make that choice. My friend, listen. If Samson would have chose the Word of God above honey, he would have been much better off. He would have been much better off. Keep that in mind. So we find, my friend, that David loved the Word of God more than he did sleep. We find this in verses 147 and 148 of Psalm 119. Second, we find that David loved the Word of God more than he did food. We find this here in Psalm chapter 119 and verse number 103. The Word of God says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. In Psalm chapter 19, David also refers to this same thing. For in that particular chapter, the Word of God says this. Verse number 8, the Word of God says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be regarded are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. Listener, as you listen to this broadcast today, I want to ask you a question. Do you love the Word of God? Do you have a taste for the Word of God? The reason that a lot of folks do not have a taste for the Word of God and the things of God is that they've never been born again. They've never experienced a new birth. They've never been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Then, if you're listening to this broadcast today and you have been saved by the grace of God, I want to ask you, Christian, how much do you love the Word of God? Do you love the Word of God more than sleep? When's the last time that you gave up some sleep? When's the last time you lost some sleep so you could get along with God and His Word? Do you love the Word of God more than food? Do you realize and recognize the fact, my friend, that the Word of God is of more value than breakfast, dinner, and supper? The Word of God that sustains you spiritually is more important and of more value than breakfast, dinner, supper. If you're listening to this broadcast today and you've never been saved by the grace of God, my friend, you're lost and on your way to hell. Right now, I'd ask you to bow your head and from your heart exercise faith in the finished work and in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Call upon the Lord and ask Him to save you. And He will, and you'll know Him. Then, Christian, if you're listening to this broadcast today and you have been neglecting prayer and the study of the Word of God, You need right now to stop what you're doing and confess that to the Lord. Allow Him to forgive you and cleanse you and restore you to fellowship. Do it now.